We continuing with the discussion around the political killings and political violence, particularly as we see factionalism increasing in the governing African National Congress and also in the tripartite alliance. Now, several analysts have warned that political killings are likely to increase this year ahead of the ANC's elective conference in December. We've been hearing a lot of cases of politically related killings in the last couple of weeks, and this is, of course, a major concern. To discuss this now in more detail, I'm joined on the line by independent researcher and violence monitor Mary De Haas. Mary, thank you so very much. Welcome to Talk at Nine.
Good evening, everybody.
Now, Mary, we had the police minister, Fikile Mbalula, just, in the hour before, saying that he has set up what he termed a prosecutorially led task team. He didn't want to divulge the size of the team, just saying that he's got a lot of capacity in there and that they've made several arrests. The problem, of course, is that they're arresting the hitmen, but they can't get to the people the hitman giving the orders. From your many, many years, in fact, almost decades of research into political killings, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal, how difficult is it going to be for this task team to actually get to the people giving the orders for the political killings?
Well, that is pretty difficult because hitmen are expendable. And if there are cases where hitmen get convicted, but sometimes they die before they can get convicted or witnesses get killed. The circumstances vary a lot. A number of the killings before the elections last year were definitely kind of hitmen, well-trained hitmen who were, they'd done their reconnaissance, they knew who they were shooting and they shot in the head. And that can be tricky. Some of them there are more clues than others, but if you take a case like Liebland's Hostel in Durban, which has had quite a lot of publicity in this last 3 years, where over 70 people have been killed, and that's largely to do with political dynamics within the hostel. Now, those crimes could have been solved years ago, because there's so much evidence for that. I mean, the person driving it is known, the guy that's bringing the guns in from the police is known, and that no one's been convicted for that. So there's a whole variety of different contexts in which these killings take place, and sometimes there's more information about them than others. But having said that, I think the bottom line is that crime intelligence is not doing its work, because I think we all know that it's the easiest thing in the world, it seems, if you look at court cases, for a person, a woman, to get a hitman to kill her husband or a business partner, and these guys are armed, and yet how can ordinary people know how to get a hitman and the police don't know where they are? So you start, I think, with crime intelligence, because if you had proper crime intelligence, you would know where these guns are. You would know. I mean, we know there's been paramilitary training going on, into the 2000s. And nobody has followed up where those guys are. So it goes back to poor preventive policing to start with. And, I mean, look, we've just got a huge problem with detective services. We've got a huge problem with policing generally in this province.
Now, you've spoken to some of the kind of systemic and institutional deficits, in the police. But a lot has also got to do with the kind of political enabling that needs to happen for some of this work to take place. Because, as you say, it's a very loaded environment. There are context-specific ways in which some of the corruption happens. But my understanding, or at least this is the framework within which I place this, if there is a political principle that is willing to enable the detective services, even if they don't have all the resources that they need, but there is the belief within that service that they can go after whoever needs to be gone after because they need to get to the root, whether it is some rich taxi boss that is connected to some powerful politician in KwaZulu-Natal, whether it is Duduzani that is the president's son, that there needs to be a political principle that will stand behind his or her men and women who need to do the job. Do we have that kind of political principle in Minister Fikile Mbalula from your own experience, Mary?
Oh, it's difficult to say. I mean, he's very new on the job. And, you know, it's early days yet to see. I think the proof of the pudding's in the eating. What's he going to do? I think it's a step in the right direction to bring in police investigators from other provinces. I've been shouting this for years. I mean, 2 years ago, I was begging them to set up a task team with police from somewhere else in the country to deal with Gleeblands, but it didn't happen because it's a systemic problem with the police. It's a structural problem with the police. The whole transformation in the last 20 odd years has been very badly handled, especially in this province. And we've never really created a political professional police service. That's the crux of the problem, I think. You know, you go to Kwamashu hostels and you'll have people saying, well, these police are IFP supporting or these are NFP supporting. And there's definitely, I've seen even in Pietermaritzburg, for example, I've seen the police taking the side of one faction in the ANC as opposed to another faction that's saying deal with corruption. So we don't have that. That's the problem. Or there's no perception that we have it. And there's some examples that we don't have it.
Mary, I mean, I hear you completely. One of the things that I hear a lot is, you know, people who look at the police say, why is it that the people that are ascending the police are all people that come from historically the compromised side, Bantustans, you know, people who served in the former apartheid structures, particularly when it comes to things like crime intelligence. Why is the police sitting on information and politicians that they only haul out when politicians get too close to the business of police corruption itself? Like this minister was almost in an attempt to shake him down, you know, some allegations were made about a trip to the US, and of course this is traditionally what happens. So a politician that gets too uppity quickly gets put in his or her place by a layer of people in the police force across the services and the competencies that almost make it impossible for reform, structural reform, to happen in the police. Mary, who is that layer that is there and that actually holds on to control?
Look, I mean, in this province, I can tell you, in the 90s, there was a definite sidelining of competent black policemen. Mm. There was a favouring of homeland police, who were generally not as well trained as the SAP. You know, I mean, if you were a black detective or policeman in the South African police, you were right at the bottom of the heap, but you had to have a matric or you had to at least have high school education. You could get into, say, the KwaZulu police, and I think it was probably the same with the other Bantustans, you know, with a primary school education. You know, we're still sitting with police who can't take statements properly, for example. And then when you got into the homeland police, and it wasn't just in this province, but it was particularly marked, of course, in this province, and that's all come out in the TRC, it was mainly for political training. Now, you know, I kept saying in the 90s, you know, we've got an IFP police, we don't want that, we don't want an ANC police, we want, you know, we want a professional police, and we haven't got that. Now, the other thing you had happening, and most, but not all, most of the black policemen whose careers were furthered had come from the KwaZulu police in this province. There are some there that have been in the SAP, but I know personally of so many good black SA policemen, including detectives with stunning records, who were totally sidelined. But you also had white and Indian police who'd been in the security police who just carried on. You know, they were never exposed. I mean, there was one guy who did really well in detectives. He's retired now. He'd been in charge of the security police when Flak Plus operatives came down and killed a doctor up the North Coast. And he just got promoted after that. So there were those sorts of structural problems. So as a result of that, what you got I can't make any judgments about who controls the police. I dare say that one of the problems that people have is that if the better trained old guard crime intelligence people would probably have whole dossiers on politicians and be able to hold them to account, you know, because, you know, you're going to make a mistake one night and you're caught red-handed with something you shouldn't be doing and they can blackmail you. So, you know, that was the way the old apartheid police used to work. So, you know, there would be people in the police, certainly, who've got quite a lot of damaging stuff on politicians. But having said that, the politicians themselves at the moment, I mean, what I've seen, especially in the last 8-10 years, is that the whole police, you know, sort of with these incompetent people in, we've had incompetent people being promoted for political ends. And the same old sidelining, you know, detectives have tried to do good jobs. When they get too close to friends of politicians, have been sidelined. So I don't know where you start at the moment. I've been saying for years, why don't you do an audit of police, look for the guys with the clean records that have done well with court cases, train them properly. But the other thing is, if you have management above them, what I've often seen is that, or not often, but in a number of occasions, you've got a perfectly competent detective, say, but that detective reports to someone higher up who's not competent or corrupt. So then the evidence gets leaked, people's lives are in danger. We've got really serious problems.
Okay, that's Mary De Haas, of course, an independent researcher and violence monitor, speaking to us about some of the systemic issues that need to be addressed for us to get to the bottom of the increased political killings, both in terms of its genesis and also the current manifestations, where we go beyond arresting hitmen, but where we get to those who give the political order.